Welcome to the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine. Meet him, greet him, treat him, and street him. Today's date is October 26, 2016, and I am your skeptical host, Ken Milne. The title of today's podcast is FOMED Scary? And we have a number of guest skeptics for today's show. I will ask each of them to introduce themselves. So we'll start here.
My name is Dr. Munsaf Mamani. I'm currently the program director for the CCFP EM program, and I'm a practicing academic as well as community ER physician.
And representing the Western CCFP EM program, we have four residents with us. So please introduce yourselves.
My name is Kevinjeet Mangar.
My name's Kelsey Cassidy.
Hi, my name is Jothan Kaker.
And I'm Ben Frigeau.
And representing a frontline community EM doc, we have...
Thanks, Ken. My name is Sean Ryan. I'm a community emerge doc and adjunct faculty member at Western as well.
Well, this is an SGEM Extra. And from time to time, we like to pause from our usual structured critical appraisal and do a big picture issue. And being so close to Halloween, we thought we'd revisit the issue of social media and ask... Is FOMED scary? And we've addressed this a few times on the SGEM, and the last time we had the godfather of FOMED himself, Dr. Joe Lex, and he gave his famous quote in his best Marlon Brando impression.
This is Dr. Joe Lex in Philadelphia. If you want to know how we practiced emergency medicine 5 years ago, read a textbook. If you want to know how we practiced emergency medicine 2 years ago, read a journal article. If you want to know how we practice emergency medicine now, go to a good conference. But if you want to know how we will practice emergency medicine in the future, listen to the conversations in the hallways and use foam. Take the hashtag, leave the classroom.
So here we go with the podcast, and we're going to start with the program director. Munsaf, the question to you is FOMED scary?
Thank you, Ken. I do not think FOMED is scary. I'm very active myself. Certainly for people that are first adopting it, there might be certain concerns and fears, but as you get more and more active in FOMED, you learn new apps and new methods of learning and knowledge translation, and you start picking up more things than you do from reading textbooks, and the fear factor disappears very quickly. I classify FOMED users into three categories. There's the early adopters that just follow and read and follow podcasts or other FOM avenues. Then there are more advanced FOMED users, the people that participate, and then going on to the people that actually produce FOM. So depending on which stage of the spectrum you're at, the concerns are different. I do not think it's scary if you're just a user of FOM, searching for material using electronic methods. I can see concerns if you're somebody that's going into the more advanced categories where you're actually participating and blogging and tweeting and following. And I can see where people would have concerns about anonymity and online security and putting yourself out there. But as an early adopter, I don't think there's any fears as long as you know which methods you're using and they're validated methods, reliable methods, and well-known in the community.
So Munsaf, how's the residency program using FOMED?
Mainly for education, Ken. We do have sessions in our program where we go over some of the common avenues of FOM. Unfortunately, in our one-year program, it does come later in the year. We have a sister program that's 5 years long, which is the FRCP program, and they get more exposure longitudinally. But in a one-year program, it's difficult to embrace FOM in its full potential. So mainly for education, Ken, we show the residents the podcasts, the apps, the foam avenues that are well reputed in the community that are used by most of us on a day-to-day basis. We try to at least encourage them to adopt it and to follow some of these avenues online and through internet. We don't seem to be able to get past that point of early adoption, but if people are able to do that, I think it's enough for a one-year residency program.
So is the CCFPEM program creating any original foam ed content?
Not at this time. We are not creating any original FOMED content. We have tried ways of getting people to go from early adopters to participants by using WordPress to blog about cases or to discuss cases that we may come across. But the adoption of that level of use has been low, as we saw in one of our years. And so we're sticking to just the basics, getting people basically to learn to use the most common avenues of foam.
So what's your biggest concern then about FOMED?
My biggest concern really has to do with getting people to adopt it, getting residents who are so well versed in their smartphones and up to date and can text and use all kinds of smartphone capabilities to actually start adopting some of these things in their day-to-day practices. In doing that, of course, my concern is that am I showing them resources that are good, that are valuable, that are educational, that have been tried, tested, and true, that have produced quality material like the SGEM, where high-level research analysis methodology is used to study articles that we come across. We would like to see things that are actually going to help them and are going to help them with reliable material, especially, you know, as they come across close to writing an exam. Certainly, the material has to be evidence-based. There has to be scrutiny of the material. And I'm concerned about mainly showing them things that are going to actually achieve that objective of knowledge translation.
So Munsef, what do you think your staff that are teaching the residents, what do you think their views of FOMED are in integrating this into, let's say, bedside teaching?
I think it has changed a lot in the last 2 or 3 years that we've been having yourself and others come to our rounds and show us how valuable some of these avenues are. Over the last 2 or 3 years, I have seen people mentioning various resources at the bedside, things like Life in the Fast Lane or the Cracked series, where they've actually discussed textbooks in the form of podcasts. I've seen my colleagues that a year or two ago weren't even aware of the presence of these resources, now teaching residents where they saw how to make a quick and dirty drip of something, or you know, a chapter review on OBGYN on Cracked. So I think our staff are beginning to see some of the more valuable resources that residents would benefit from, and even people that didn't know about some of these resources are now mentioning it to their learners at the bedside. So there has been at least anecdotally, I mean, there hasn't been a formal survey. I mean, it's a good project one could do of practicing academic physicians to see if they're actually doing what we think they're doing. But anecdotally, I can tell you that a bunch of my colleagues who were behind on this have actually adopted and are pointing residents towards some of those resources. And many of them love the SGEM.
So now we're going to turn to the residents, and we're going to ask them to answer a few questions as well. And that first question is FOMED scary? Who's going to take that question?
I can take that one, Ken. So, is FOMED scary? I don't necessarily think I would say scary, but I think it can be a bit overwhelming. As Munsef alluded to, the volume of content can be very, very large, and obviously there's a multitude of resources which one has to kind of navigate. So I found myself that just finding the appropriate resources and the ones you can trust can be a little bit overwhelming at times.
So how do you use FOMED in your medical education?
So my use of FOMED has been mostly through podcasts. So I find using listening to podcasts when I'm driving, say to shifts, or when I'm traveling is a really good use of time and kind of breaks up the time in the car. Occasionally I'll find myself when you're just Googling to find a quick answer about something, you'll find yourself on a website like Life in the Fast Lane or something like that and can provide quick answers to clinical questions kind of at the bedside, or quicker answers that you might get from a textbook, for example.
So the FOMED world is getting bigger and bigger. And how do you know which sources are trustworthy?
That's a great question, Ken. I think that's what a lot of us struggle with, is trying to figure out what resources that are out there are credible for us to be able to use. So I think from my point of view, when I use FOMED, it's kind of either the podcast world or using actual kind of online text. So when I'm reading something online like Life in the Fast Lane or any other kind of resources, I'm looking for references or something, or chapter references, just to be able to know where that information came from. So if I do want to go back and take that step back to actually look at the primary source, I do know where to go. When I'm listening to podcasts, it's always nice to either, if it's a paper that's being cited, to have that at the beginning of the podcast, or if the chapter arose in the Tintinelli, just to know again that when the information that I'm listening to, where it's actually come from. So if I do want to go back to that primary source at some point in time, I do have that option as well. And I do have the chance to kind of know that the information is reliable and credible. So that's kind of how I look at knowing what information to trust.
And so what is the best part about FOMED?
I think the best part about FOMED is the fact that there's so many different options out there, right? So for somebody who likes a particular way that a site works, whether it's using graphs or tables or text or using podcasts, we're all different learners, auditory learners, visual learners. So I think that FOMED really allows you the option to find a resource that really works for you. So I think that for me, FOMED's been great because when I'm driving, like Ben alluded to, I love to listen to podcasts and I can do that. And when I'm on shift, I like a quick resource that I can trust and I can do that. So I think it's really the breadth of options out there that really makes FOMED so powerful.
So that was the best part about FOMED. How about what's the worst part of FOMED?
I think one of the hard parts for me is that sometimes it seems like there's an overwhelming number of resources and choosing the one that you want to use can be difficult. It can also be difficult to find answers to specific questions when you're working on a clinical case or a scenario that you're trying to find more information on. Sometimes the FOMED search options don't allow you to find answers to exactly the question that you might have.
So what's been your experience with staff?
So I can say that sometimes staff will talk about recent podcasts that they've listened to, and often it's the case that I've heard the same one, so we can talk about, you know, ideas that have come up on the podcast. I haven't had any issues with staff questioning it as a source, or any issues with them questioning me quoting it as a source, but that's just been my fairly limited experience.
Anybody else want to chime in on that about their experience with staff?
Sure. So my experience has been very variable. I've worked with some staff that are passionate about FOMED. They actively bring it up during shifts and try to integrate that into their practice. And I've had experiences with other staff that aren't as keen. And when you try to bring up situations like that, we'll often say, you know, it might be better just to refer to the textbooks that you basically learned from in your studies.
All right, let's turn from the residents now and talk to a community doctor. So Sean, is FOMED scary?
No, Ken, I don't think FOMED is scary. I think from a community perspective, I would suggest that FOMED is probably more relevant and important to community docs, for the simple reason that we don't have formal academic programs. We often work in single coverage emerges. We don't have regular teaching rounds, grand rounds, and so we have to rely sometimes on these resources. And sometimes it's a matter of, I've never done this before, so I'm going to look this up and then I'm going to go do it. So I would suggest it's not scary, and it's quite useful.
So among your colleagues out there in the community, are they using it, and what do they think of FOMED?
Yeah, I think most of my colleagues are using it. I think, as the residents have mentioned, I think the biggest concern is, from my perspective, from a community doc and also from supervising residents is I think you do need a baseline level of knowledge before you can apply some of these resources. And sometimes sorting out what is evidence-based versus what's just someone's idea of a cool thing to do is sometimes difficult. And so I think that's probably the biggest challenge, especially for trainees and junior staff physicians.
So if I'm hearing you right, are you concerned about quality and content then?
Yeah, I think partially. I think it's just having that with anything, that ability to critically appraise something and sort out, is this, you know, the gold standard? Is it something new? You know, so I think that would be the biggest challenge I would suggest.
So do you still subscribe and read journals?
Sort of. I subscribe to something that keeps me up to date with journal headlines, so to speak, but I don't physically sift through journals anymore.
So you're out there in the community, but you also take on residents from time to time. Can you comment on the residency training and how new grads are using social media from your perspective?
Well, I think even compared to when I was in medical school, which wasn't that long ago, I think residents rely heavily on FOMED and even paid online resources, and I think that's great. It's easier to stay current, I think, versus textbooks and traditional source material. But again, I think developing an ability to sort out what's useful and what's not is important.
Does it annoy you when a trainee says, "Yeah, I heard this cool thing on a podcast," or "I read about this on a blog"?
Not really. No, I mean, I can't think of any situation where that's happened. I think most of the time, residents are pretty good at sorting out what is useful and relevant and what's not.
So, are you currently paying for any educational resources right now? And if you are, how do you think they compare to the FOMED resources? Is it a matter of you get what you pay for?
Not necessarily. I think the interesting thing about the emergency medicine world is I think a lot of the people who contribute to the paid resources are also doing their own FOMED thing as well. So I think there's a lot of overlap in terms of faculty and contributors to both worlds, and I don't know if that's similar in other areas in medicine, but in emergency medicine there's a lot of overlap.
All right, well, let's bring it back to this round table we've got going here and ask everyone the same question. I'll start, of course, with the program director, Munsef. What's your top FOMED resource and why?
So I have lately adopted a lot of the focus and ultrasound websites because I have been a late adopter of advanced applications of ultrasound. And as I get more into it, I have been fascinated by the free and open ultrasound resources, focus resources out there, which have been phenomenal with high quality videos. And I don't want to mention anyone by name at the risk of not mentioning others that are equally good. So I'll just leave it at that there are essentially very high level and free open access focus resources that I have adopted.
All right, well, let's turn to the residents and get their top FOMED resource and why.
So for myself, I enjoy using Life in the Fast Lane. It's nice to use on shift because you have the option. It has a lot of quick summaries of kind of key resources. It's also something good to take home if you want to read around a case. And I also like the fact that Life in the Fast Lane lets you, every week they actually go through kind of top 10 or top 20 FOM resources of the week. So I think that it's a great way to stay up to date. And if you want to kind of skim through that on a weekly basis, it kind of helps to kind of keep up to date with some of the more relevant information out there.
So my currently favorite
FOMED source to use is Crackcast. It's a podcast run by the BC FRCP residents that basically go chapter through the Rosen's textbook. I think it's a great resource for specifically CCFPEM residents because we get exposure more through Tintinelli's, and through that I get a great exposure through Rosen's and kind of that perspective as well, which I think really complements kind of this year's education.
I have a couple of FOMED resources on my RSS feed that so Life in the Fast Lane, as was already mentioned, MCRIT, Recess Me, Rebel EM, First 10 EM. So there's lots on there. And the great thing about the RSS feed is it just kind of gives you the highlights and then you can skim through and read in more detail about the ones that are relevant to you.
The resource that I've used most is probably EM Cases. The nice thing about that is it's kind of quick reviews of relevant material, and they always keep it extremely relevant and also has a Canadian focus, so I really enjoy that resource.
And from the community.
So just a very basic resource I've used for years is MedEquations, which, you know, pretty much any calculation or clinical decision rule is in there, so that's very practical and useful. I would also echo Munsif's comment about POCUS. I think as fast as POCUS is changing and evolving, I think you pretty much have to have some decent POCUS resources to look up new techniques and procedures.
Munsif, would you encourage other training programs to use FOMED?
I definitely would. As a program director, I can see how there would be challenges, but definitely we need to encourage its adoption in the first stage of its use, where people are actually able to follow and use and find material in a form fashion. As we have seen today, residents are at very different levels in their use of this technology. One thing as a program director you want to ensure is that everyone's at an equal footing. And so as we adopt this more formally into training programs, we want to make sure that all residents are getting the same level of expertise in this area. And if people are going more into advanced applications, we are all doing it for everybody.
And so where do you see FOMED in the next 3 to 5 years in the medical education world?
I see it being developed into the curriculum in a accredited way, where educators sit around a table, accept that this is something that is being used by residents, albeit at different levels of expertise, and then developing modules and workshops to make sure that everybody is taught not only to be able to use this material, but also to appraise it critically and to be able to determine which resources are useful and validated, and then also to be able to be advanced users of this technology, to be able to participate in discussions, to be able to tweet around things that they have seen. Also educate them how to do it responsibly by keeping their online safety and privacy in mind as well.
And turning to the residents, what advice would you give other residents in using FOMED for their education?
So I think FOMED is a great resource that I'd recommend to all residents. It's incredibly rapidly accessible. It's free to use. So it's a great resource for residents to get an access to be able to expand their medical education. I would always remind them that, you know, even though that you have this vast database of knowledge, it's important to be really skeptical about the data that you're reading and listening to, because they are sometimes opinion-based. And I think it'd be really important to siphon between the facts and the actual data that we have available.
Anyone else want to comment on that question?
I think for residents as well, I think who are getting used to new online platforms like Twitter, having finding a mentor. I think in Canada, we're lucky to have a lot of great leaders in FOMED, in emergency medicine in particular. So finding, I think, a mentor and finding somebody that they can follow just to get started on one of these new platforms is very helpful to get kind of eased into the world of FOMED.
So Sean, what advice would you give to practicing community doctors out there who want to get started on using FOMED? Where should they start?
My advice for community physicians would be, first of all, I think to embrace and accept that FOMED is here and to stay. And secondly, I think using FOMED as an opportunity to keep our skills and knowledge base in tune and at par with physicians from larger centers. And I think having access to FOMED allows us to do that more easily.
All right. Well, I'd like to end the podcast and the discussion with an open-ended question. So any final thoughts that you have about FOMED? And this is open to the group.
Well, my final thought is let's keep doing it. It's here. Let's adopt it. And let's tell people to adopt one more thing than they had yesterday.
I think there's a lot out there. So finding something that you like and using that, but keeping your mind open also to new ideas, because they are always coming down the pipeline. And there's probably going to be lots more coming up in the next few years.
I think just to echo what everybody else has said, to embrace it and be adventurous and curious and find new ways of doing things.
After listening to everyone talk for the last 20 minutes, I think we can all agree now that
FOMED is not scary.
Well, happy Halloween, S-Gemmers. We'll be back next time with a new critical review, trying to cut that knowledge translation window down from over 10 years to less than 1 year using the power of social media. The Keener contest winner last week was Brad Kinder, and he's from Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri. Brad knew that clindamycin is commonly used to treat MRSA infections and has a black box warning for C. difficile colitis by the FDA. There is no question this week, but listen next time for your chance to win a cool skeptical prize. A quick conference update. I'll be in New York City at the Amazing Teaching Course, November 14th to 16th, with some of my favorite FOMED friends, Rob Rogers, Salim Razai, Swami, and others. Ski Beam is coming up February 1st to 3rd at Sun Peaks in beautiful British Columbia, and Das Smack, June 26th to 29th in Berlin. The first wave of tickets have all been sold, but don't panic. Another batch of tickets will be on sale December 7th, 8 a.m., Sydney, Australia time. Thank you again to the residents from Western University EM program.
Thanks for having us all, Ken.
And Sean, it was great to have a community doc on the program talking FOMED.
My pleasure, Ken.
And Munsef, thanks to you for helping put this SGEM Extra together.
Thank you, Ken, for having us.
And as the program director, you get to give the SGEM tagline.
Remember to be skeptical of anything you learn, even if you heard it on the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine.
Talk to everyone next week.